Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Jerry Seinfeld's new movie, Unfrosted, is now streaming on Netflix, and it'll have you saying, "What's the deal with this movie?" No, I mean, seriously, what is the deal with this movie? Hello, everybody. I am Dan Merle here with my review of Unfrosted. I also have another review, by the way, of the Amazon Prime original streaming movie, The Idea of You, that I'm releasing simultaneously. So after this one is done, you can hop over and see that one. But before we do that, let's talk about Unfrosted, which is Jerry Seinfeld's second movie as writer and star after 2007's B-Movie and his first movie as director. The screenplay was co-written with the B-Movie writing team of Spike Ferriston, Andy Robin, and Barry Marder. I guess Unfrosted, which is a fake origin story for Pop-Tarts, is supposed to be a send-up of the modern trend toward doing the product movie, movies like Air and Tetris and Flamin' Hot. But it's really just a shell for a lot of jokes about 1960s cereal mascots and pop culture figures. So if you're in the market for a movie that has a lot of Jack LaLanne jokes, I mean so many Jack LaLanne jokes, probably all the Jack LaLanne jokes that have been made in cinema, you could combine and still not have the number of Jack LaLanne jokes, well then this is going to be the movie for you. If you are looking at the screen saying, "Who's Jack LaLanne?" Well, Unfrosted might be a bit of a tough watch. Seinfeld stars as Bob Cabana, the mastermind at cereal company Kellogg's, which is locked in a brutal breakfast war in the summer of 1963 with rival company Post in the cereal town of Battle Creek, Michigan. Jim Gaffigan plays Edsel Kellogg III and Amy Schumer plays Marjorie Post, both of whom are desperate to maintain the cereal empires that they inherited. And some of the only jokes in the movie that actually worked for me are based on the premise of inheriting something versus building something. I also think that there's maybe an unintentional meta level here about coasting on a cultural legacy in favor of breaking actual new ground yourself. Post, with the help of stolen Kellogg's research, is about to launch a shelf-stable toaster pastry, and the movie is about the race to be the first to the shelf. Cabana poaches his old colleague Donna Stan Stanowski from NASA, played by Melissa McCarthy, to help Kellogg's catch up, and her big idea is to build a team of experts to help invent the Pop-Tart that includes Chef Boyardee, the founder of Carvel Ice Cream, and the aforementioned Jack LaLanne. What a relatable team of modern references. The rest of Unfrosted is basically a series of mini sketches that includes a trip to Puerto Rico to corner the market on sugar, a showdown with a cartel of milkmen led by Christian Slater that culminates in Bob being blasted with cow farts, a meeting with JFK played by Bill Burr in the Oval Office, and a recurring storyline where Chef Boyardee and a former Nazi scientist try to wrangle a mutant ravioli filled with sea monkeys. That's not a joke. That's an actual storyline in the movie, and it's both more and less surreal than it sounds. I'm all for absurdism in movies if Unfrosted had decided to go the Hot Rod Lonely Island route, but that's not really what's happening here. There are a few absurd jokes, but mostly it's just a bunch of, I hate to say it, boomer bait pop culture characters and other characters that are delivering stale punchlines as if nobody had ever heard them before. When you look at the cast of this movie, some of them are listed, some of them are surprise cameos. I actually can't think of a ratio where the number of funny people to the number of funny jokes was so out of proportion. Seinfeld, the sitcom, was incredibly popular back in the 1990s, and justifiably so, and remains popular, but Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian, was never really breaking a whole lot of new ground. He wasn't exactly Andy Kaufman out there pushing the boundaries of stand-up comedy, and that comedy hasn't really aged along with the rest of the world. I think that Unfrosted might have been one of the funnier movies of 1994, but in 2024, it feels more than a little stale. Now, there are some attempts at making modern references, including the exhumation of two characters from a very beloved TV show of the 21st century. And 9 times out of 10, I would have been delighted by seeing these characters return. But in this movie, it just left me shaking my head. I mean, it'd be like if Robert Downey Jr. reprised Iron Man in one of those Meet the Spartan type parody films. It's like, well, yeah, I love the actor and I love the character, but not like this. Now, there are some genuinely funny parts of the film. I'd honestly have watched a whole movie about the serial mascot uprising led by Thurl Ravenscroft, the voice of Tony the Tiger, who's played by Hugh Grant, an increasingly entertaining comedy presence. But even that storyline culminates in a very unfunny extended sequence where the serial mascot raid becomes a metaphor for the January 6th insurrection, with a horned Tony the Tiger leading the mascots into the Kellogg's headquarters to prevent the certification of the new Pop-Tarts by the FDA. And to paraphrase Jerry Seinfeld himself, I wasn't offended as an American, I was offended as a comedian. Most of the bad jokes in Unfrosted, though, are fallbacks to tired comedic tropes. There are numerous examples of naming well-known products, like when Bob tells Stan that the drink she's working on for NASA has a certain tang to it. Get it? Because they would go on to name it Tang. There are also numerous scenes with two children who act and talk like adults, because that's funny, right? They're kids, but they talk like grown-ups. Honestly, the whole enterprise feels like it's guided by a comedian who hasn't had to challenge himself comedically in 30 years. And when you're Jerry Seinfeld with your millions and millions of dollars in the bank and your fleet of cars, why would you need to, I guess? Now, in the lead up to Unfrosted, Seinfeld has made headlines not for the movie, but for comments about the quote, extreme left and PC crap ruining comedy, bemoaning that you can't turn on the TV and find the great shows you used to see because they've all been wokeified to death. First of all, I don't think that's true. Jerry Seinfeld just made an appearance on a show, Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm, his partner in creating Seinfeld, that is the prime example of a show that, quote, you couldn't make today. Comedy has been inciting controversy and discussion and people saying, hey, you can't say that, from Lenny Bruce to George Carlin to Seinfeld the sitcom. I remember when they killed off George's fiancée, Susan, there was a huge outcry from people that said that they'd gone too far. Now, in today's culture, the voices of dissent are easier to hear because of social media, but this whole idea of discussing what's too far and what's not too far is nothing new. But part of me also wonders if this is a sign that Seinfeld is beginning to realize that comedy has simply moved on without him. He used to be at the cutting edge, but Unfrosted demonstrates to me a comic in stasis, making the same jokes about the same things and the same people that he would have made back in the 90s. And instead of acknowledging that he's a bit of a throwback and settling into that niche, a lot of people are fine with that comedy, or pushing himself to advance his own comedy, Seinfeld seems to have resigned himself to being angry at everybody else for not standing in place with him. In short, he's kind of become Principal Skinner.
Am I so out of touch? No, it's the children who are wrong.
Now, there's also a possibility that perhaps Seinfeld suspected that the movie wasn't going to be well received by critics, and so decided to put the woke critics on blast to deflect that negative criticism. But that would be a very Newman move, so I'm going to go ahead and move past that. Unfrosted is full of so many people that I like so much that I feel like I should have liked it just based on goodwill alone, but the bulk of the humor absolutely didn't work for me, from the ancient cultural references to the predictable punchlines to the end credits, which forced the entire cast, most of whom don't really seem that into it, to dance to an original song performed by Meghan Trainor and Jimmy Fallon with 8 credited songwriters. It's like having a hype man at a funeral, which, by the way, they do have a funeral in this movie, including full cereal honors, which consists of pouring milk and cereal into the grave until the casket floats. Ha. Honestly, the best part of the credits was the 30 seconds that it devoted to the real Marjorie Post and her enduring legacy, which is something that I actually didn't know. And honestly, I'd rather have seen that movie, or really just about any other movie. I'm not going to give this a stay away rating because it did have some jokes, a few jokes that made me laugh, and it was nice to see a lot of faces that I enjoy in comedy. But Unfrosted lands solidly in the not a fan category for me. I think it's another miss from Netflix, although you never know, there may be an audience for it out there. So what do you think? Are you going to be checking out this faux Pop-Tarts origin story on Netflix? Let me know down in the comments below. And as always, stay tuned right here for more movie news, reviews, box office, and more. Until next time, stay safe, and I'll see you then. Bye.